Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Coming to you live from the Geico Studios. Happy Wednesday! Mr. Harmon?
What's going on, brother?
It finally happened to me today.
What's that, buddy?
It finally happened. There's a lot of Jason Smiths in the world, right?
Yeah.
That in sports-wise, right? There's Jason Smith, the basketball player.
Sure.
Jason Smith, the hockey player. Jason Smith, the former football player. Everywhere, all over the place. And there's
fairly
me.
Fairly straightforward name, so
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and there's me, Jason Smith, you know, broadcaster. Crazy how all the Jason Smiths have, you know, come of age in sports in the 90s and 2000s and 2010s. You know, just Jason became a popular name, and here it is. But never have I ever. Let's play never
well,
have
let's
I
let's play that game. Are we going to do that on radio now?
No, we don't want to. I've seen relationships end watching people play never have I ever. Oh, what? What happened?
Did
find
you
your own way home.
Did you film it?
No. I haven't played never have I ever in a long time. You should never. Okay, I should say.
Just
never,
sounded like you had a recent experience.
No.
That
no.
was still having
oh, no.
ripple effects
no,
during
no,
the
no,
quarantine
no.
time.
No, the last time I played it, it was probably the late 2000s or late 1999, 2000, I would say. And a marriage almost broke up that night because of it.
Well, how about that?
It was uncomfortable. And I'm saying to myself, why does everybody feel like they have to tell the truth if it's going to be a bad
answer? It was something
answer?
About a thing with
what
the
is,
guy in the place.
What is that? It was about one of the wife, they asked a question. Like, apparently the husband and wife had dated for a while, and then they broke up for a while, then they got back together and all.
We were on a break!
And somebody asked a question of, I've never, whatever. And the woman, like, well, what does that mean for, what does that mean for does it count when you're on a break? And apparently, like, the husband had no idea that she went out and dated somebody else. And it was a really, I was like, oh no, why don't you just drink and and he wound up leaving. I think he came back later on, but he wound up leaving the party and stormed off.
Did he go to a smoky bar down the street?
No, I don't know, but they had problems for a while after that. Don't play never have I ever unless A, you're not with a significant other, and B, you trust that it can stay in that room, which is never going to stay in that room. So that means don't play never have I ever. There you go.
I was going to say, who's letting the single guy play anyway?
No.
That's boring.
But it happened. I was contacted today to do a national interview because the person thought I was Jason Smith, basketball player.
You mean former Nick?
Yes. I was contacted. Apparently, they've got contact. I don't know how. Hey, the contact number for Jason Smith. All great. And I got a text saying, hey, Jason, would love for you to come on our pre-show today, if you could, to talk about X, Y, and Z. Let me know if you... I'm like,
oh, that'd be
sure.
Great.
I should, I'll hook up. And then
I'm a media personality. What the hell? Let's
I'm Jason. What do you want to know? I'll tell you all you want to know. What
you
could
have gotten some promotion of the show in, and then if it went chaotic,
yeah,
then we would have still gone viral. See, well, bad job by you.
What do you want? We'll play Never Have I Ever. What do you want to do? What do you want? I'll come on.
I'll play any radio game you want to do.
Jason Smith. Yeah, listen. I've gained a couple of pounds. I've gotten shorter, and I shaved my head during quarantine. So all of those things have happened. So I wrote back and I said, I think I'm Jason Smith, radio, personality, TV, you know, everything. I think you're looking for the, oh, dude, so sorry, man. So sorry. So I got a Jason Smith interview request.
You can't touch that machine. You're not qualified.
You know what I should have done is I should have just said, yeah, but can we do it on the phone? Yeah, great. All right, great. So then I would come on and I would just say stuff like, yeah, you know, the Knicks just suck. That's the worst organization in the world. And they've never done the right things. You know what they did to me? James Dolan made me park his car before a game one night. He thought I was the valet guy. He made us all wear these crazy ass stuff. We were all wearing, we all had to carry umbrellas like we're in the Umbrella Squad because he likes that show on Netflix. It was an, and it would be great. And he would go, oh my God, look at these stories Jason Smith is telling about the Knicks. And you know, it would go from there.
I like the way you think. No, that was
very, very close.
You blew it. You blew it.
Well, I felt like in the end, it eventually I would have been found out and it wouldn't have been good for
anybody.
Yeah,
but it would have been a good ruse. You would have been on all the prank sites and look at how brilliant Smith was. Got himself some nice pub.
You know, I'm actually Tom Thibodeau. Really? Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, yes, I am.
And you know who the hardest working player in basketball is? Boy, that Joakim Noah. Yeah. They really got a gem there for the Clippers.
And you know who was the worst? Carmelo Anthony. He would order pizza on other people's credit cards and never pay. And the pizza would show up and he would take it with him and leave. He was the worst, man. I can't believe he'd do that. This guy had millions of dollars. And he would come and just sometimes burn money in front of people's faces. Look at this $500 bill I got. I'm just going to burn it in front of you because you're never going to see more than a 10-day contract. I can't believe he would do stuff like that. Oh, I could have. If I could have figured out a way, maybe. Maybe, maybe, maybe.
I'm just going to say it. I'm disappointed. There was an opportunity
there
for absolute chaos.
It was there. It would have been fun. If I thought I could have gotten to a point where I was doing an interview on the air, I would have done it. But it was never going to come to the point. They would have had to hook me up by my computer, and they would see me, and they would go, I'm sorry. And I'd say, well, I'm here anyway.
Well,
why don't you talk
to me? Down. It's not like they got a tape measure. Yeah. Sitting there, you just say, hey, the meat got me.
I'd be like in The Fugitive when Harrison Ford went to visit the guy in jail. It wasn't the right guy. He got up to leave, and the guy said, hey, talk to me anyway. You got me out
here. You got me out here.
I'm here already. Why not? I got opinions and everything.
There's your first pop culture segue of the night. You going to watch the Kiefer Sutherland version of The Fugitive that's being promoted everywhere?
I might. There's some kind of interest in that. I think I might want to hear how it is first, and then maybe I'll do it. Might
or hear
be something
how he
I need
says,
to
I don't care.
Yeah, I want to hear him say, Chloe, download this to my PDA. Just download it to my PDA. Just do that. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink because let's face it, nobody likes to stink. We have a big day in the NBA bubble, which we're going to get to. The Lakers with a big loss. Memphis keeping everybody in it in the Western Conference in the race for 8-9.
Tanking.
But the news of the past hour and a half clearly has been the NFL Players Association setting up a snitch line for players to report team COVID-19 violations.
Yeah, buddy.
Players will be able to text the number while remaining anonymous. Yeah, right. Allowing the union to file grievances on the behalf of the players. This, according to NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, that's how it's supposed to work. There is a version of this in usage right now in the NBA, which is used for players to report violations they see in the bubble. So the NFL is going to have their own snitch line in the National Football League. You know what I can't, you know, it's going to be great is that in the bubble, there's not going to be that many violations, right? So what are we going to get in the bubble in the NBA, right? But in the NFL, these players aren't under curfew. These players are going to get to go home and leave and go wherever they want to. There's going to be all kinds of phone calls from clubs and videos at 2 o'clock in the morning going, hey, I'm here with Sam Darnold. Look at Sam. He's dancing. Sam, come here, Sam. Look at that. No mask on, Sam. The phone calls that are going to come to this line from people that aren't players is going to be incredible. Everybody's going, you know who I'm here with now? The entire offensive line of the Washington football team, so they all can't play on Sunday. Oh, I can't wait.
How long before that becomes public?
But it's supposed to be anonymous.
No, but I mean, so where like these guys then go out and all of a sudden you've got people on the streets with their phones.
Yeah.
Going and hey, by the way, I saw this guy. I mean, Frostburg's got, and we'll have it on speed dial.
Oh, he's,
I saw the entire Denver offense.
No, Frostburg's already got the Chiefs, Broncos, and Raiders at 0-2 because of what he's reported on the snitch line. He's already got them there.
Six division wins. I mean, that's great.
That's they're all already going to be 0-2 when they start. But, you know, the serious thing about this is that Do you really think any NFL player is going to call the snitch line? I mean, nobody, no player. First of all, they go, oh, don't worry, it's anonymous. Yeah, no. It's not you. It's only anonymous if you don't call it, because then they have no idea that you didn't call. If you call this thing, you have to be ready that this is going to get out at some point, right? Anything, anytime anyone says, "Oh, will you do this survey? Will you do this?" It's anonymous. No, no, no. Even when I get asked to do stuff, hey, you know, you just vacationed with us. Can you take a short survey on your stay here? And even if the place was terrible and it was awful and I didn't like it, I'm not going to go rip them because they got my credit card info. They have everything. I don't know if this is really going to be anonymous. I'm not going to do this. So I fill it out one knowing that what am I going to be okay with if they come back to me? Right, that's how I do it, and that's what's going to happen here. No players are going to call the snitch line. For God, are you kidding? There would be brawls in locker rooms and outside of locker rooms every 5 minutes if that happened.
Oh, I think there's tremendous comedy potential for this as you go through and you start going through all the line items, right? All the costs and the expenses were for each team. It's like, wait a minute, you had over 100 extra telephones ordered? Why did we need 100 extra telephones? Wait, they seem to be of the cheap pre-programmed disposable type. Well, you don't want to be traced on your actual phone now, do you? Nope.
This is just not going to happen. It's great in theory that they're throwing this out there, but how is this really going to work when you're talking about players who aren't going to snitch on their teammates? They're not going to snitch on other players. It's just isn't going to happen. You know, it's the same thing for the NBA, but I get the NBA wanted to put this in place to tell the players, you have to follow what's going on. Because even though it was anybody could call the snitch line, it was still there to say, listen, we're all watching you. You need to make sure that things get taken care of. The NFL's doing this like, hey, we got no eyes on anybody. Any phone call we get's a bonus. You know, we're not going to be able to do anything bubble-wise. So if you want to call, great. That's awesome. There's not one player who's going to call this. I can't see it.
Well, I mean, because it's just the extension, right? You got to put it out there, right? It pretty much you're going to copycat anything that seems to be working for the NBA when they can put out press releases of zero positive reports, etc. And we made so much of the snitch hotline as it was announced there. Still waiting for stuff to flow through. Remember, Dwight Howard was the only one really that caught heat, and it was more because he was putting up YouTube videos and Instagram posts without a mask, walking around going, hey, isn't this great? So it was more on him than I think anybody actually snitching. But you're going to take a bit of the best practices, and with the NFL, they're also putting in fines to go with the protocols, right? That's part of the fight as well, is that there's got to be penalties, something we talked about yesterday. Major League Baseball, not so much. I mean, behind the scenes, I'm sure guys are going to get ripped, but if you're the Cardinals, regardless of what the guys did, you're going to go after Yadier Molina? No, probably not at this point in his career and what he's meant to your organization versus, you know, Derek Jeter doing his press conference on a what we know is a bad team. Nothing's public as to whether they're going to be able to penalize guys. What are you going to take their per diem for a couple of days? I mean, there's nothing specific, and we know Rob Manfred isn't putting any penalties in. Now, I'll give him credit. They're doing a lot of pivoting to keep things moving, but in terms of administration, we haven't exactly seen them come down strong at anybody. The fact that you've got hit by pitch after hit by pitch is really the only way things, you know, players will take it in your own hand. You don't want to be leaders? We'll be leaders and we'll do it. So going forward, that's going to be one of the big things for the NFL is the accountability. In the Dolphins, in between, there were wide receivers opting out in the defensive backfield. They were asking the New Jack City line, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, yes, I am.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. But if you would like to call the NFL snitch line, the number is 877-99 on Fox. 877-99 on Fox. If you have any information of any players in the AFC East that don't play for the Jets, that are not adhering to COVID-19 protocol, please tell me. Coming up next, a bit of a different story, because this is what I would tell Astros players as they're getting thrown at by pitchers throughout Major League Baseball. I have a different strategy. This is what I would tell Astros players. And not only would this work, it would benefit the Astros, and it would get teams to stop throwing at them. How about that?
Let's get it.
It's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. And not quite the day we expected with college football today. We're still waiting for the NCAA to make their big statement that they promised was coming today about fall sports. We didn't get that. Instead, we got the Big Ten saying, we're going to play 10 games. We're going to start sometime in September, what every other conference has said so far. We also found out this blazing hot story that UConn has decided to punt on the 2020 season. They are not going to play college football because of the dangers of COVID-19. This is shocking. We had not seen a team opt out of playing yet in college football, but I'm going to go back to the prediction I made a couple months ago when college football first started figuring out what they're going to do. There are going to be some schools that don't play for a couple of reasons. And it could be UConn saying, we don't feel confident in the player safety, COVID-19. We don't feel enough about it. It could be, we don't feel it's right. We can't have students on campus. We can't have other sports. We're going to make this decision to not play football. And it may be shocking because you would think in the beginning, well, wait a minute, we got all this money coming in. Well, sometimes not so much. Sometimes you get money from donors who are going to say, don't play football. I got a lot of money for you. Don't play these sports. I got a lot of money for you. Who knows? But you are going to see, for different reasons, schools say, we're not going to play this year. And I would say when it's said and done, somewhere around 20% of the schools will say, we're not going to play in the fall. Some of them are going to do it before. Some of them will try to play and get players to campus, and it finds out it's not working. There's too many positive COVID-19 tests. But I would say when it's all said and done, 20% of the teams of schools will back out for a variety of reasons. And you'll see teams like, you see conferences like the Big 12 play with 9 or 10. And the ACC will play with one short or two short. Same thing with the Pac-12. I think that's the number about you will see across the board in D1 for football.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of things with this. First, back to the NCAA. The one announcement they did make went in line with what everybody's saying. You opt out because of COVID. Scholarship protections, right? So you don't lose your scholarship because of the pandemic. So that was really the only thing of note that we got from the NCAA, which wasn't groundbreaking because we'd heard that from other conferences. One of the things for UConn is that, well, they're no longer in a conference. So what happened was you ended up losing several games because of the rescheduled efforts and the configurations like the Big Ten and all the other conferences started to do, saying, all right, we might have one non-conference, but otherwise we're staying in conference. So you start losing SEC games and opponents. You start losing, you know, other games on your schedule, ACC, etc. So suddenly all those monies and revenues that you were expecting to see also went off the books too. So yeah, to your point, there's going to be multiple reasons. This wasn't an altruistic thing. No matter what Randy Edsall says, like, even if I was in one of those big conferences, I'd still be saying we shouldn't play. Okay, that's fine, but you're not. So it's easy to say, if I was. The pressures are far different for UConn football than they would be for, say, a member of the Big Ten
or
the SEC. Yeah. So the fact that they bailed on this, well, they'd had several games canceled, and there was probably going to be no likelihood of making it up, and that you'd be operating at a bigger deficit perhaps than you did normally.
Yeah, but that's where it's going to fall under a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
You know, it could just be strong boards of the school saying we're not playing football. But it means I don't care. And the CEO, the regents, and they're all going to decide we're not playing just because. And different parts of the country, I think, will have different reactions to it. I could see four or five teams in the Pac-12 saying we can't play. You know, I can't see anybody in the SEC saying they're not playing. You know, this going along with the differences in our country as far as areas that are opening up and wanting to open up. I can see that. But I would say on average, one or two teams per conference will wind up backing out when we get by the time we get to the season for a couple of different reasons.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're already looking at 38 states are playing high school football. So you got transfer chaos in effect as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We begin hour two of the program. As it's really weird, you know, tonight I'm in studio. Every couple weeks we come in, we do our podcast for Special Teams, which, oh, by the way, our new Special Teams podcast dropped earlier today. Every week, Mike and I look back at special teams, specific year in sports, and this week we look back at the ambush at Mile High, the Jaguars' huge upset victory over the Broncos in the 97 playoffs, 96 season. Why did the Jaguars not turn into a dynasty? How bad of a loss was that for the Broncos? One of the biggest upsets in playoff history. The ambush at Mile High, Jaguars Broncos. You can download it, listen to it, iTunes, Spotify, use the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it's available. Don't forget, rate us, give us 5 stars. We'll love you forever and ever and ever.
Do it!
And ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
But of all the weird things this baseball season, you know, coming in at night here, I'm in the studio, and you know, we have the four TVs in front of us as normal. The thing I'm having the toughest part getting used to is that we're getting to watch the Dodgers every single night.
That's weird, isn't it?
It's the weirdest part. All the other games, the cardboard cutouts, oh, the line drive knocked the head off of that dog down the left field line. No, no. The weirdest thing is getting to see the Dodgers every single night. It's so strange.
It is a new world order after the last couple of years where we would let's just say we'd have to be creative if we wanted to watch the Dodgers on a given night. Yes?
That's a good way to say it, creative.
Is that
yes.
the nicest
yes.
way to say it?
That's the most legal way to say it, yes.
That is right.
That's very legal.
Creativity and, you know, people drawing pictures without the express written consent sometimes. But when it's all said and done, it's a new age, a new season. All the new heroes are out there. And look, it's just been a strange 2020. Why not add that to it? What's strange about that? We get to watch them.
I mean, and through no hooker by crook, no figuring out a way, no getting onto Reddit and trying to figure things out. No. We just have it. Just turn on the TV. The Dodgers run. It's insane.
Clicking a link and praying.
Yeah. No.
I mean, you just turn on the TV and away you go. So that's a beautiful thing, no question. I'm watching this dog of a basketball game. I got the Houston Astros and the Arizona Diamondbacks as well. So
still no Astros getting hit tonight. We're still at zero, right, for Astros hit by pitch?
Yeah, last I saw.
Okay.
I had tuned away for a few minutes to,
all right.
Because it started to get a bit out of control, as you well know. And that bottom of the fourth when the Diamondbacks put 9 across. But swinging a long one, and well, maybe the long comeback begins with that first swing. So we'll see what happens.
And
a lot of baseball to play.
Meanwhile, speaking of the Dodgers, they lead the Padres now 7-2, middle of the sixth inning. Jock Peterson, who, boy, the Angels miss him, has got 2 home runs and 5 of the 7 RBIs tonight for the Dodgers. Bottom of the lineup, knocking in all 7 runs so far. So the Dodgers lead my Padres. Big series here in the West. My
Padres.
My Dark Horse World Series team. And so far, if you're looking at one of those divisions, it's going to have 3 playoff teams. It looks like the NL West is going to be one of them. You've got 3 teams that have started out pretty strong so far. The Rockies are in first place. The Dodgers, you know how good they are. And the Padres are playing pretty good baseball.
See, I just like when we're doing all our predictions and Dark Horses. I legitimately offered the Marlins up pre-COVID mess. As a lot of young talent, some good young pitching, let's see what happens. But the division would be too hard. If they stop the fight right now, they're in first place.
Well, yeah.
They played half the game.
Yeah.
But
if you make them go by winning percentage only and the Marlins said, we're stopping playing now, be tough to get to winning percentage of .830, which is where the Marlins are at. Very difficult.
Winning percentage. Yeah.
The Marlins were off for a week and didn't play a game, and the Mets are 7 games behind them in the loss column. 7 behind in the loss column.
That's a pretty bad week.
It's Mets, yo. Tonight was a really big night in the bubble for a couple of reasons in the NBA. The first one, listen, the Lakers are getting a lot of attention because they got drubbed tonight. And look, they clinched first overall in the Western Conference. We knew that these games coming up, you can't draw too much from them. I'm sorry, but there's some games you can draw a lot of conclusions from, and some games you can't. You can't draw conclusions from the Lakers losing to the Thunder by 20. What the hell are they playing for? All right, then AD is playing 29 minutes. LeBron is just up to 30 minutes. There's no reason for them to go crazy killing themselves. What the Lakers need to do is figure out who are going to be our bench guys that come through that we need to count on when we get to the playoff series. You can't just say, and I hear this all the time, because of the anti-Lakers bias. Look, I have no dog in the fight here. I picked the Clippers to win the title in the beginning of the year. I told you how the Lakers can win as long as they get offense coming off the bench from Waiters and Kuzma, which is really going to be the key to this team in the playoffs. But you can't sit here and tell me that, oh, the Clippers are going to be fine and there's no worry about them. But, oh, the Lakers who are actually winning, oh, yeah, I don't know about that. They might not have it. That's just a load of crap. That's just being anti-Laker, and find a different take. You know, find a way to say something that doesn't completely contradict what you've just said about stuff. Some games you can take a lot away from. Some games you can't. I don't care that the Clippers are getting drubbed every single night. What I care about is they're going to have all their players enough time to start the playoffs, and they can be cohesive and come together. It's not about wins and losses. Now it's, when are they going to have their whole team? That's the big thing. Are they going to have, when is that going to happen? Because we've been waiting for that since November. Conversely, for the Bucks and the Lakers, these teams, look, they're not playing for anything. All right, so you just got to back off. There's certain games that you can say, this is what matters, and this is what we can see. We're seeing a good level of basketball so far, but obviously the wins and losses for a lot of these teams, it doesn't matter. And to say that it matters for some big teams and not some big teams, that's just being stupid. That's just saying, I can't come up with anything else to say, so I'm going to criticize one team and I'm going to prop up the other team just because. And that's something that, hey, if that's what you need to do to get by, hey, God bless you. And if people listen, that's awesome. But in the end, look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I doing the best job I can, or am I just completely doing stuff and I don't care how it comes out? That's kind of just how I look at certain things. And when I see takes like that I go, that's just lazy. It's just lazy to say. There's no difference. You can't tell me the Lakers losing is a big deal and the Clippers losing is not a big deal. It either is for both or it's not for both. But we're changing the meanings for each one just because of how we feel about one team or another.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, I mean, with the Clippers, you caveat the guys that are missing. Even going back to last, the season opener, the restart opener. See what I did there? Where everybody got excited, and it's like, well, Lou Williams is chicken-winged out of play, and Montrezl Harrell isn't there. And Patrick Beverley had missed time, so he was only playing, 16 minutes, I think, in the opener. So you shrug and go, all right, take it for what it is. With the Lakers, they've clinched the number one seat. Do I have reservations that I've expressed the entire season about everything beyond the big two? Absolutely. That doesn't change, but at this point, you got to go beat them, right? This is the Ric Flair idea of regular season. They got the belt. You're still going to have to come and take it now. On the Eastern Conference side of things, the Milwaukee Bucks have looked disinterested this entire restart run. Does that mean I'm suddenly, jumping off the bandwagon for what they are in the Eastern Conference? No, but hot take theater is what we get into. And hot take nonsense, that's the hashtag, if you want to put the hashtag out there. And that's what you have to do, because you got a lot of games where it's just, all right, they're going through the motions. I mean, the hottest take I can come up with right now is Memphis is tanking.
Oh, man.
They don't want the 8 seed because they know they can't win, and then they go back into the lottery to add to what is already a fantastic nucleus.
Well, that's the thing.
And they lost Jackson to an injury.
Yeah, that's the most I don't want to say impressive, because a team losing is not impressive, but that's the most important takeaway from tonight, is that Memphis loses again to Utah, and it's now 4 straight losses in a row, and Memphis has let everybody else back into the race for the 8-9 spots in the Western Conference.
Well, and their schedule the last 4 games is awful.
Right, and they've already not been winning, and now what are you going to do? I mean, they have let – when the bubble started a week or so ago and the Pelicans lost their first two games, oh, that's it. They're done. I mean, look what's going to happen. And all Memphis has done by losing four in a row, now five overall, they now have a one-game lead over the nine spot. And here's where 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 goes. 8 is Memphis, 37 losses. 9 is Portland, 38 losses. 10 is San Antonio, 38 losses. 11 is New Orleans, 38 losses. 39 losses for Phoenix, 39 losses for Sacramento. This is insane. This is where all the fun and drama is at the bottom of the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Because you have seen some teams with the restart embrace it, and other teams say, yeah, it's whatever, we're going to lose and go home. Because I have seen, and if I had to pick my two teams that would make it to the 8-9 game right now, I would say Portland and Phoenix. Those would be my teams, because these are the two teams that I know have embraced the restart and are excited to play and are excited to show up, because that's half the battle in the bubble, is going there not with one foot out the door saying, we're just going to play a couple of weeks here and then we're going to go home. You have seen these teams from the beginning embrace this as, this is our chance to make the playoffs. This is it. We're going. Why not? Let's go do it. Phoenix scores a lot of points. Portland, they don't look like an 8 seed. They're getting stuff from Melo now, and they look like one of the contenders in the Western Conference, even though the reality is they're down, in ninth place. But these are the two teams that I can say they've embraced the bubble. New Orleans hasn't embraced the bubble. San Antonio's hasn't embraced the bubble. Neither is Sacramento. These teams, the ones it's going to be about being mentally strong and that desire that you have to have, it's always there in the playoffs, and the teams that have the most mental fortitude win. But this is even more so now when you're factoring in, do we even want to be here in the bubble? You really want to get there and win. You have a huge advantage over everybody else. So I'd say right now, if I'm going 8-9 when it's all said and done, Portland and Phoenix, those are going to be my two teams.
Well, I talked about the Blazers yesterday, banging the drum for them with the health of the front line coming back, because we already knew about the guard play. Phoenix is always just fun to watch, right? 29-39 overall. Even in the regular season, you had no idea what the hell you were going to get on a given night. And that's, to me, if you're a Phoenix fan, you're frustrated. But for us, when we'd have it on in studio, you didn't know if they were going to put up 130 or if they were going to be broke and come up with a dismal effort and get run out of the gym. They come up with a win against the Clippers, and again, you take what the Clippers are putting out with a grain of salt, but you can only beat who's on the schedule, and Devin Booker is embracing the opportunity to be in this showcase, and DeAndre Ayton as well, a guy who's, let's face it, there's been a lot of negative ink about his health and ability, want to, down the stretch. And so he's looking like he's got a different attitude in this restart. And then Ricky Rubio, just because he's a nice, he's a nice footnote in the history of point guards being drafted and where they end up and what happens to them. Sorry, Scott, talking to our boss. He had 18 in that game, and another guy who, with all the hype that he came in with, he's trying to prove that he still has some value. So you got guys that are playing not just for the playoffs as a team, but with a lot of individual needs to prove something as well. So, chalk that up to the desire to show out in the bubble.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. It's different in the aspect of the players' lives are turned upside down, and who can embrace the unexpected, because that was a big part. Remember, we did that big pie chart and said, okay, what's it going to be to try to win? Yeah. You have to embrace the unexpected. You have to have the desire to want to win. You have to have all of these things there. And it was impossible to tell coming in who those teams were going to be. Did you really think a team like Portland, with all the how outspoken some of the players were about, are we really going to have a chance to win? Should we even go? Damian Lillard, it didn't sound to me like Portland was ready to get excited to go play basketball. And look at them. Look how good they are. It's, oh my God, look at this. The Pelicans, you would have thought, they're so tremendously excited. We can't wait for the Pelicans. Boy, Zion in the eighth spot. They got to play the Lakers. What a great first round, and they've been.
National thrust behind Zion Williamson, absolutely.
And they've been so far. It's been so hard to tell. who was going to be coming in. But after that, now it's been easy to tell what teams are here to play and try to win. And at the bottom of the Western Conference, it's easy. Those are the two teams that are there and want to win. So that's why I'm going to, no matter what the schedule is like, because I know Phoenix has some tough games down the stretch. They got to play Dallas. You know, the end of the season doesn't go that great for them. But if you want to win and you're playing a team that doesn't really care about winning, guess what? You're going to win. Especially if you have a little bit of talent. And Phoenix has a little bit of talent. So do the Blazers. That's my 8-9 game right there in the West.
I like the cut of your jib. You know, I had the Blazers in. And you look at what Memphis has to finish things off. I mean, I guess they're helped by a little of the I don't want to by at least one of the teams they play. But you've got they'll play the Thunder on Friday. Sunday, they've got the Raptors. Tuesday, they've got Boston. And then on paper, it's a beast, but we've seen they don't care. They've got the Bucks to close out the 8 games. So on paper, pretty miserable.
Right, but are the Bucks going to going to be playing?
Bucks aren't going to care.
No, they're not going to care. Some of those teams aren't going to care.
Terry Cummings is going to come off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, really, by the time it comes to the end, is Dallas really going to care? Are they going to go? Are they going to make sure that Porzingis and Luka Doncic are playing 38 minutes in that game? Right. No, it's going to be, hey, how about you guys play a nice 20 minutes, and then we're going to sit with our towels on our shoulders and let the rest of it go. You know, on paper, it looks tough, but like I said, certain teams aren't showing up, whether it's for we want to leave or we don't need to really get going until the playoffs.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to have a big banquet for all the teams that are leaving?
Like
all the costume
nice.
Characters in
sure.
line, like it's the end of the night at Disneyland, and you're walking to the exits, and they're just waving at you.
The fireworks go off.
Yeah, there's Chip and Dale at you, and there's Goofy in whatever costume they put him in, and on down the line. No, that'd be great.
I could say that could work if it wasn't for the fact that the second the final buzzer hits in the bubble, NBA players are going to want helicopters to land on the floor and just take them away. Take me back home. I'm going back home now. I'm leaving. I'm out. I'm done with this bubble. I am going home. I got all my stuff. It's like when you go away for soccer tournaments and stuff, like you and I have gone away with our daughters playing in soccer tournaments, when you have to pack on Sunday morning because you're either playing another day or you're not, but you got to pack and check out of the hotel because if you're not, you don't want to worry about getting charged another day. This is what NBA players are going to be for that last game. We've all checked out of the hotel. Bring all your stuff with you. We're going to leave right from the arena. Going to go right to the airport. That's how we're going to do it.
No, that makes sense. I'm with you.
AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online, grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. So visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. That's AutoZone.com. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Straight ahead, what is easily the best news of the day in sports, and I like the fact that it's something that's coming and going, and we're not paying a lot of attention to it. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, Fox Sports 1 Bleacher Report, NBA insider extraordinaire Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening, my friend?
Just living the dream, gentlemen. I have both of my TV screens up, and I've got live action on both of them. It's been so long. I am enjoying this immensely. Actually, I take that back. I'm watching recordings. What am I talking about? It was live action. So
it was so nice. You're watching it twice. It's all good.
And it happened today. So I'm good.
You're gonna be that guy when you get older. Your kids are gonna go, just put dad in front of the tele. Put on an old game. He'll think he's watching something that's on now. Just put on an old game. Put
you
on.
Think they don't do that already.
Rick's got 800 words on the Knicks Spurs NBA Championship Game 5 coming your way very soon.
There you go.
So now, look, it's awesome. We have games we're talking about, and really the best part of this, Rick, we talked about this last hour, is that today we get the story that the NBA has zero positive COVID-19 tests again, and it's become a background note. Because they've done such a good job at keeping the players out of trouble, we are focusing tremendously on the game. We're not having COVID-19 NBA conversations where we're having COVID-19 MLB and National Football League conversations. And I know that this is something that, hey, we've jumped right back into it, but that's a big thing. I didn't think we'd have that happen at this point, that we're only a few games in. We're not even talking about COVID-19 with the NBA.
Yeah, well, and it's not only that, look, the expectation was hopefully you don't have enough positive tests that's going to disrupt things, or that's going to be, you know, it's somehow going to undermine the validity of the competition and the league restarting. But we've had zero. Inside the bubble, we have had absolutely zero. And so, yeah, it's a remarkable job by the NBA. And it's also, it's a credit to all the players and the people there that they are following protocol well enough in order for this to happen. So it is a tremendous thing. It would have been a huge, it is, when it is, particularly with Major League Baseball, you know, that you can only half appreciate the action that you're seeing, because there's the other question of, well, how long is it going to last? Because we have all these, not just positive tests, but these outbreaks within teams. And so, but I will say this too. It is immensely easier to do what the NBA and the WNBA are doing in terms of being inside a bubble where everybody is contained in one particular area, in one particular space, and you can control what comes in and goes out. And so that is a huge advantage for where Major League Baseball is. I don't think we can look past the fact that the NBA has a setup by virtue of the game itself and the facility that they're using that allows them to avoid any issues, more so than Major League Baseball.
As of now, we're taking the approach of the five-year-olds, Rick, of we'll get what we get, and we're not going to get upset, and we'll celebrate the wins today to be able to have multiple screens.
Amen.
And hurt our necks as we go. I said,
did you say Knicks?
Hurt our necks. Knicks. You have to throw that in there.
Throw the Knicks in.
Have to throw that in there.
Knicks have been hurt
a
lot.
Talk about hurt. We got to add the Knicks.
Well, you know what? It's just so much part of the show that it just slips out now and again. All right. So we look at the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks. Are these losses all created the same at this point in the bubble, or should we take some level of concern from what we're seeing?
Well, you know, with the Lakers and the Clippers, I just feel like they've continued with, for the most part, have continued the way they did the regular season. The Lakers, up until, you know, the game against Oklahoma City, seemed to be taking every game seriously and trying to make the most out of them and get something done. And the Clippers have played when they feel they lost a game that they should have won. And otherwise, they're just going to kind of coast along until they really think these games are important. I think that's what we've seen. And with the Bucks, look, there's certain elements here. And even I could say with the Lakers, look, they clinched. Oklahoma City is playing for something. The Lakers are not. So I guess I can make a case why the outcome or getting blown out by OKC isn't as big of a deal as it otherwise would be because of the circumstances. But I think it does point up that the Lakers' margin of error is not great. They have to be focused all the time. They can't play anything less than close to their maximum ability and win. And quite honestly, the Clippers have demonstrated that. I mean, they've the 2-2 record every game has been a last possession game, and they've had the opportunity to win it. So you can question their execution at the end of games, and you can question, are they really focused all 48 minutes? But they've given themselves an opportunity to win every single game. And the Lakers not doing that against Oklahoma City was a little surprising. And then the Bucks just not being able to execute when it comes to finishing a game. That, to me, is still one of the questions. I think they're a victim of their own success. They've had so many. They played the fewest three-point games this year, and to me, it's the one thing that they probably need the most practice in. You wouldn't play close games just to play close games, but they really need time against opponents where they're playing a possession-by-possession game, and they hand the ball to Giannis, and they see if he can develop that ability to be a scorer and a playmaker on any given play at the end of a game in crunch time. And that, to me, still remains a question mark about them. So in many ways, what we've seen so far has just been a continued reflection of what we were seeing, what we were seeing during the regular season, or questions that we still had about those respective teams.
Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report insider with us here, Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Now, the thing, Rick, that's maybe the most fun about the bubble is that certainly some games you can see are played with a little bit more inspiration than others, although the level of basketball of the actual trying has been much better than I thought. You know, I thought it was going to be more of like kind of preseason. We're going to sit back, and we saw the Bucks do it a little bit. But I'll tell you what, Memphis has made the last few games in the Western Conference so bleeping exciting. I mean, they've lost four in a row. Everybody's in it. I mean, they may bring the Knicks back over from the East, and they may have a chance to win back in. Everybody's within a game and a half of it.
Yeah, look, I feel badly for the Grizzlies because they lost Justice Winslow getting ready to play these seeding games. They lost Tyus Jones. They've now lost Jaren Jackson. And they were a team that was not, you know, they were surprised this year. They were a pleasant surprise, largely because of Ja Morant, also because of Brandon Clark. And Taylor Jenkins, the job that he did as the head coach, but it wasn't like they had an insurmountable lead, and they've happened to be compromised and playing against teams that are looking to make up ground with them. So I'm really not surprised, and I'm not faulting them for it. And to be truthful about this, I feel like if it's not the Blazers are by and far the most interesting matchup with the Lakers in the first round. Pelicans, Suns, Kings, Spurs, Grizzlies. I don't see any of those teams being able to push the Lakers and make that series interesting. There's too much of a disparity in either size or playoff experience. The Blazers, these Blazers, not the Blazers you saw during the regular season, but the Blazers with a healthy Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins and now Gary Trent Jr. and Anthony Simons joining the party, like, this is a very, very interesting Blazers team. And I'm hoping that they end up as the team in the eighth seed for the competitive aspect of it, and because this is the team that Anthony Davis and the Pelicans upset 2 years ago. And if anybody knows Damian Lillard, they know that that is sticking in his craw like nothing else. And I would imagine that Yusuf Nurkic would like to make up for how he was abused by Anthony Davis. So there's a revenge factor element in this series as well that would make it very exciting.
From revenge to hunger, we see the Raptors a 10-point winner again today.
Rick's Raptors.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Fred Van Vliet is king of the world alongside Pascal Siakam. Are they the one real threat in the East?
To the Bucks?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't see how you can say anything but. The Celtics are up and down. I think their lack of size is an issue in certain matchups. But the Toronto Raptors, it still remains to be seen how they perform in the postseason without Kawhi. But that said, they have depth. They have experience. You mentioned Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. They have guys who can potentially step up and be better this time around. And the fact that they have a championship under their belt, the fact that they have the motivation of we could be back-to-back champions, and 25 years from now, nobody's going to look at like the circumstances. They're just going to remember we were one of the few teams that won back-to-back championships. And they have the great, great motivating factor of, like, everybody thought we were done when Kawhi left. Like, the rest of us were just riding Kawhi's coattails. That is a monstrous motivating element for these Toronto Raptors, and I think it's why you're seeing what you're seeing, aside from the fact that they're just pretty damn good. I mean, they are, you know, okay, so they may be short of that one bona fide superstar, but they have an array of guys who play like a superstar at times, and in their own minds, they would tell you, I can do anything that dude can do. Nobody can stop me with the game on the line. That is an invaluable piece to have. So Fred VanVleet isn't afraid of taking that shot. Siakam's not afraid of taking that shot. Lowry's not afraid of taking that shot. And Nick Nurse is just smart enough as a coach that he can figure out which one of the matchups do we go to that allows my guy to be that star. And so I think they are very, very dangerous. And as I said, you know, they're my Raptors. I've favored them to knock off the Bucks and be the team that came out of the East from the very beginning. And I think the circumstances of the bubble only fortify the reasons that I think that they could do that.
All right, real quick, Rick, before we let you go, a couple of teams that we did under the radar that wouldn't surprise me if they won the title, different reasons taking advantage of the bubble. I gave one from each conference. I said the Heat in the East and the Mavericks in the West. The Heat, look, they're built 1-9. They're tough. This is built for Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo to break through and have a big series. They're going to be physical. And I don't know. I call me crazy, but I can see Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis causing a lot of problems, and that offense just hot knife through butter, and we're not really expecting it. These are the under-the-radar teams that could win. What do you think of those?
I've wanted to pick the Heat. I have at various times as that dark horse team, simply because of the reasons that you stated. The reason that I hesitate is just because they're still counting on some really young guys, guys who have never been in a playoff situation, and to suggest that they are a dark horse and they could possibly win this, you got to go a long way with guys who have yet to play their first playoff game ever. So that's a dicey prospect. And the Mavericks, I would have said, I would be more inclined to buy that before they lost Powell, before they lost Jalen Brunson. If they were at full strength, I would say yes. But what we've seen in the bubble, and I don't think it's any mistake, we've seen it during the regular season, there's just certain matchups that they struggle with, and they don't have an answer for. Their lack of overall athleticism is a problem. And so here's the reality. Because we all love dark horses, right? We always love the team that we think could come out of nowhere to get it done. I'd pick the Heat by default. I wanted to go Sixers at one point, but they've got issues, and I just, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I'd probably go Oklahoma City Thunder before I go Dallas Mavericks if I had to pick one in the West.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. Changing his Twitter handle to My Raptors. That's coming tomorrow. So continue to follow Rick as you get a chance. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great one.
We the North, yo.